Turn your Bibles this evening to Psalm 66. I was going to get started this morning with this, but thought we'd wait for tonight. You know, I think we... you know, I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just the way it began through the course of history beginning, have a Sunday morning service, and folks come Sunday morning. Usually, the average church, in America, around the world, I would presume, has the greatest number on a Sunday morning. You know, folks come, and I know of people in other countries, they'll get on buses and walk and take taxi cabs and do all this for hours sometimes to get to church on a Sunday morning. You know, when a lot of folks are still sleeping, they're working their way, and I know folks have spent, I know there was folks that I knew in Sri Lanka, they would begin the night before trying to get time to be at church in the morning, and you know, amen. You know, it's when we want to be at church, it's going to take something to get us away from it. So Sunday morning is a time a lot of folks come, they want to be here, and it kind of feels like the right thing to do for many people. It's supposed to be a church Sunday morning. Sunday night, folks come back because you want to come back. You want to come back and get a little bit more. And then Wednesday night, folks come because they want to get a little bit more, but they also, through prayer, want to give a little bit more. Right? I don't know if I've given this fellow went to a buffet and got a steak. Amen. You know, one of them, I think the Golden Corral, you can get a steak at Friday nights or something like that, Saturday night. Fella got a steak and he got back and he went, got done with that steak, and he went and got another steak. And after that, he done ate that steak, he went back and got another steak. Got three steaks. Somebody asked him, so why'd you get that first steak? He said, because I was hungry. He said, why'd you go back for that second steak? He said, because the first one was good. You know, why'd you go back for that third one? Well, I just want to get a little bit more. I think that's how church is. I think that's how church is. We come in the morning because, you know, we're hungry. We need to be there. But then we come back at night because that was good. I want, now, by the way, when that's good, doesn't mean it was a good message. It's just, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's, I want to get some more. And then Wednesday night says, you know, I just want to get, I've heard a lot of, you know, I just want to get a little bit more. And some folks will have this idea that, you know, I need to go to church just to get a little pumped up to make it through the week. You ever heard that thing? We've talked about, we just need this injection, a little recharge to get through the week. I thought, man, that's, I know it sounds, it's some good preaching sometimes. You need this. Get it. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's more than that. I think, man, I want to be there Wednesday night because there's something more. Not because I need it. Man alive, I need the Lord every hour. You know what I'm saying? So that thing about I need it, listen, but it's like, listen, I want a little bit more. Not because I'm not gonna be able to exist. I'm not gonna be able to live for Him without it. But I just want a little bit more. And then we pray, and I want to intercede for folks and get in there. Let me just remind us while I'm thinking about that. Pray for brother Phil and Ms. Dawn, and they're still down a little bit, and so they want to be back, and Lord willing, to be back next Sunday. Talk to brother John Reeves, and he. When I say I talk to him, text, folk. I like text. You know, you don't feel like you're intruding in somebody's life. I don't know what they're doing. If they're sick in bed, if they're not feeling well. And just, so it's anyway. So I wrote with him. He said, you know, he was bad. Then he was good. Then he got bad again. He said, but I think what he said, I didn't, you know, we want to, he said, we're planning on being there next Sunday. And so pray for them. Pray for these folks and that are down. Miss Charlotte, pray for her. Anybody got an update on Miss Charlotte? Right. Ooh. Does she? So pray for Miss Shar. Lift her up in a special way. Let's just take a moment. Brother Paul, would you stand just right there and pray for these folks that are sick? We do that.
Mm-hmm. Dear Sister Charlotte, Lord, dear the ones, Lord, that can't make it to church here, Lord, that they need your help, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we're bringing them to you, Lord. And you told us to do it.
Yes.
You promised that if we came to you and brought our petitions to you, Lord, that you hear us, that you answer in your word, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, to pick them up, Father, and watch over them. Which is by your prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Psalm 66, in verse 1, I want to read through this whole psalm to get this. We're going to read through the whole psalm, and then we're going to go back and we're going to go through it a little bit. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee, and they shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doings, in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into Thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto Thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." I want to start, number one, our testimony. Our testimony. He starts with this. He says, make a joyful noise. The phrase "a joyful noise" is actually a word. A lot of times, what we find in the Bible are phrases that we use a phrase to translate a word. Right? That's kind of how translation goes. Sometimes it takes a couple words to translate what one word means. That happens in languages all the time. But here, a joyful noise is a word that means to shout. That's what it means. It means to shout. Often it's used for the shout of a call to march into battle or a war cry. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the walls of Jericho. And, right, they're going every day. They make a round. And then that last day, they make the seven rounds. And at the end, the walls come down. And they just, you know, I just think about this battle cry. Charge, right? You know, they used to use a bugle and all this. And there's this war cry. And sometimes you see, you know, it seems like you've seen this some of these old movies and, you know, World War I and World War II, some of the, even before this, some of these things that people just, seem to be, maybe it was to psych themselves up. I don't know what it was, but that's kind of, sometimes that's what this joyful noise is. It's about that. It's about that shouting. It's also used of a cry in distress. You know, maybe a way to cry out, help me, Lord, right? This shouting for that, but it's also used as a shouting in triumph in battle. Woo! Right? We won. You know, you see that, you see any kind of sports thing, man, sports players wear out their hands with high fives. I can remember one day there was this they're giving five. He said, hey, high five. And he's like, man, my hand is wore out. I've been in football practice all day. From, you know, there's this shout of, woo, something triumphant. There's a victory and there's an exciting thing. But finally, what we see here, it's a shout for joy. For joy. Joy gets the shout tonight. A shout out to joy. No, it's a shout for joy. It's this, when there has not been simply been a victory or there wasn't a battle, but there is this presence of joy. There's something that goes on in us. This joyful noise is something that, you ever been in church and you wanted to just kind of throw out like a good old hearty amen? Amen! You know what I mean? But you just felt like, you know, and maybe something just stirred you and you want to just agree? That's right, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, there's just a, you know, sometimes stuff that gets, it's like, man, that just gets you and you just, your hand will lift up, right? You're like, well, do we do that in Baptist churches? Well, they did in the Bible. You know, if they did in the Bible, it's okay. I mean, we don't want to get carried away. It's like, you know, sometimes what folks want to do is they're doing this. You know, we don't want to get into that, but there's also times they just lift their hands up to God. Amen. There's a shout for joy. Just something about it stirs us, right? Just not that something happened, but just, amen, God's good to me. And there's this, becomes a little bit of a joy, just a shout for joy. But yes, the second, not the second thing, but with that is, it is singing. We always talk about make a joyful noise. Look here, verse 2. He says, sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Yeah, it's also singing. But the joyful noise isn't just doing our best to sing along with the hymn, right? We kind of joke about this a lot. Well, just make a joyful noise, right? It's a little bit more than that. Sometimes we kind of diminish this thing by just, somebody says, well, I don't sing very good. Well, you know, I guess, if I'm trying to figure out what singing good is, I suppose it's somebody that can make a living out of it. Right? I suppose if I'd say, you know, somebody that can sing good is, you know, becomes a pop star or becomes somebody that sells tickets. That's somebody that sings good, right? But it's hard to say, isn't it? Well, I mean, I think people sing good that don't sell tickets. I guess it depends. Y'all with me now? I guess it depends on who the audience is. See how I trapped y'all now? And see, sometimes I want to just, who's the audience? Is the audience man or is it, right? If I'm singing unto the Lord, I really don't have any place to say, you know, or maybe I do, but let me just kind of qualify this in a second. If I'm going to say, well, I just don't sing very good, you know what I'm saying? I don't have the right spirit to sing unto the Lord. Who made your voice? Right? God made your voice, didn't He? You say, preacher's going to want to get us up here doing some specials now. I don't want to get nothing with you. I want you to do something for the Lord. I don't want you to do something because I want you to do it. I want you to do something. Hey, listen, I'm, by the way, let me just, for the record right here, I don't think everybody should sing specials. I'm just saying that. I don't think sometimes folks get up there and they're making noises and things. You're like, I have no idea what message they're trying to give. And I knew there was this couple one time that we knew they were in a church we were going to. I was taking some linguistics courses for the mission field, and I was there. We were in this church for a little bit. They'd get up there. He had kind of a something. I think he had a stroke maybe or something, but his voice was bad. It was, you know, he couldn't understand it. I mean, talking, you had to really work to listen. And she was just okay. You know, she was okay. But they'd get up there to sing a special. I didn't understand a lick of it. None. And it was songs I knew. You know, and they're singing. I'm just like, but I'll tell you, they smile. And they knew what they were singing to the Lord. Do you know what I mean? And when they got up there, I knew I wasn't going to understand. It wasn't something that my ears said, ooh, I could just listen to that all day. It wasn't that, but I thought, man, I just loved it. I just loved when they got up there and sang. Because it was in their heart. I've seen other folks like that. They go to sing and you're like, man, this might be a little painful. But there's a spirit in them. And they're singing unto the Lord a song. And you know what they didn't say? Well, I'm not really good enough to sing. The only way we're not good enough to sing unto the Lord is if we don't have the right spirit with it. We don't have the right character and something's going on. So it's not just the joyful noise here. Isn't just about doing our best singing along with the hymn. Listen, there's a message in the testimony given in Psalm 66. In verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise. What does that say? Unto God, right? All ye lands. Watch here. This is an instruction for all people everywhere to shout out, to lift up their voices, to make music unto and about our great God. In verse 4, he says this way. He says, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Salah. Amen. Listen, this is about singing unto God and talking about Him and to Him and what a God has done. And it's about really, if I say this, it's about my testimony about what God's done for me. Whew. Our testimony isn't, watch this, rather shouldn't be some pithy recitation of an experience that we had one day at church or kneeling beside our bed. Here's what I'm saying. Our testimony isn't just some little thing. Got saved. And so now I'm a Christian. But that's going to change the world. That testimony right there, folks are going to be like, wow. You know what I mean? You know, I've said this before. You've heard me say this before. We ought to develop our testimony. That doesn't mean creating one. It means develop, meaning what did that really happen to me? Right? What did God really do in my life? And I find a way to share that about what God did. And not some little thing that just says, yeah, I did this one day. Listen, there ought to be more than that. We're talking about our great God. We're talking about rejoicing. We're talking about shouting about what He did. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of something that's more than just some little thing. Listen, your testimony really isn't about you at all. It's about what God did in you. What God did with you. See, it's what God did through you. See, when we're talking about my testimony, I'm the little guy in there. He's the one, right? Listen, it's about the wonders and the glory of God that saved you. That's what my testimony is about. Well, I just don't really have much of a testimony. You heard those things before, right? Well, I just, you know, and I, it really wasn't that special for me. It just wasn't really that big. Wow, so you're... My testimony isn't about me at all. It's about what God has done. And yeah, listen, if I'm going to share if I'm going to shout it, I'm going to have something to shout about. And by the way, that doesn't matter where you came from. If you got saved, there's a song that I was listening to the other day. It talks about this, what all the things that God saved me from. He said, listen, the greatest thing I can't remember exactly how the song goes, but it's talking about this. The greatest thing that God did is save me from that life of sin. You know what I mean? He said, it saved me from, I didn't have to go through that sin. I didn't have to see that stuff. Now, somebody else said, man, I was deep in sin and God saved me out of that. Now, that's great too, but I'm telling you, I'd much rather had been saved as a young boy. Been saved from all that. I'd much rather would have had that. You know, I don't tell somebody, hey, you need to go get a little sin. Sow your oats a little bit so you have a really good testimony to share. No, folks. Listen, because you know who saved both of those folks? The same God. And the testimony is about what God did. What an amazing thing. Listen, it's about the wonders and the glory of God. That's worth shouting about. Now, number two, I want to say this. Number two is this. Take us on a journey. Take us on a journey. So your testimony ought to be a story about what God has done in your life. By the way, it's not what you've done. A lot of times our testimony becomes about me. Let me tell you, I did this. And I did that. By the time we're done, I don't really know about God. I just know about you. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all follow me? Y'all with me? Making sense to you? What I'm saying here to you? Listen, that's not a testimony. That's a self-praise. I mentioned this morning, but I'll say this tonight in this way. If my testimony that I'm telling is about the things that about me and about what I did, somebody without Christ could tell that same testimony. They could turn over a new leaf and tell some new things about themselves. That's not amazing. That's not wonderful. That's not awe-inspiring. Listen, I'm telling you what it is. Here's what God did in my life. Here's what God did. That's the amazing. Somebody else without Christ can't talk about what God did in their life. It's all. Listen, that's so we ought to give a testimony about God. Not about ourselves. Don't tell me how great, experienced, or talented you are. Well, let me tell you all the things I've done in life. That's not interesting. I mean, maybe it's interesting on a physical sense. I'm interested when some people do. It's interesting. I mean, in a natural sense, a guy said, you know, I used to do this thing or that thing, and you know, I used to ride rockets up across the moon and stuff. I mean, some of that's kind of cool. And they said, I used to do this thing. I would dig through tunnels. I don't know if things are interesting. But there's, as far as to God, that's not going to draw anybody to Jesus about how interesting and exciting things I've done. You know, there's people that are, many people are talented. Many people more talented than you or I. They've seen, they've done cooler things than we have, right? They've done stuff. And people have had experiences better than your experiences, more interesting, right? But God, He's awesome. Tell me about how He worked in you. See what I'm saying? Man, I'm telling you, the housewife that never left the farm, when she talks about God working in her life, is more exciting than the fellow that's went around the world many times and told about his own experience. I'd rather hear about God working in somebody's life. I'm telling you, it's thrilling to hear about God, what God's done in somebody's life. It's amazing. You know, it's awe-inspiring. That's the awesomeness. How many body worked in you? Can I say this to you tonight? That's what others need to hear you shout about. What He's done. Man, He says it this way. Come and see. Come and see. Look at verse 5. Come and see the works of God, right? He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Listen, what is worthy of shouting about is what God has done. That's what we're talking about. What is God? This is what we find here. Let me tell you about God. And listen, how it affected me. But let me tell you about God. Listen, that should be the embodiment of the testimony of for the Lord and of the Lord. Let me tell you what God has done. Too often our testimony is to someone about God is so filled with self-directed praise. You know what I'm saying? Well, I used to this. And I'm not trying to just... I'm not trying to beat up on us because we all find ourselves in this place. I'm trying to help us. Right? Say, well, what you've been doing is wrong. Probably what I've been doing is wrong. You know what I mean? I want God to help us to be better at what He wants us to be. Amen? Y'all with me tonight? So, look here. Too often when we want to share about God is really sharing about me and how great that I am now. And people know us and they're like, you ain't that great. So if you ain't that great, God must not be that great. You understand? So let's talk about Him. Listen, but we're not the subjects of praise. We're the vessels of it. Look at verse 8. He says this, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. That testimony is filled with the events of our life, right? Verse 10, it says it this way, For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Listen, our testimony is filled about what God did in my life, but it's God that did the work. Yeah? Y'all with me tonight? Y'all tired tonight? It's a little wash. I'm going to start cranking up the air. We're cold. We're listening. It's hard because it's getting late. And y'all are like, the sun is down so early. I can only get so excited. And y'all are like, man, jump a little bit more higher. I'm going to fall. All right. That maybe if I fail, y'all be like, that's funny. Now we can see what I got going there. I got to just grab you back out of that slumber. Okay. Listen. Our testimony is about what God's done, but it's Him that did the work. It's not about the work that I did. It's not about how great, well, I did this and I did. No, it's about what God did in my life. Listen, silver has no value, but the value that others put on it. You see, verse 10, again, he says, For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Listen, the only reason silver has any value is because somebody put value on it. We're going to be walking on streets of gold. We're wearing dirt. We put value on what's going to be dirt in heaven. I mean, I don't know what that's getting you. Is that how it is? I don't know. But listen, we walk on concrete. Concrete, of all things, is not the value thing. Matter of fact, even in the Bible, it talks about the clay is what's the easy, brittle. It's judgment. And so we're going to be walking on gold. And so, listen, the value isn't us. It's what God has done. It's what God has done. God is the one taking us through this journey. Verse 11, he says it this way. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. So, it isn't what we went through that's amazing. Many people go through many things. You understand? Man, let me tell you how difficult and challenging it's. I visit people, it's always funny. I visit people in the hospital that I've never met. I do this. I've done this for many years. I'll go in the hospital. I've never met them. Somebody gave me their name, and I go and visit them in the hospital. And I walk in that room, and I'm not in that room 5 seconds, and they start giving me their medical history. It's like, okay, I'm a pastor, so I'm the vice doctor. You know, it's just funny, and it's really funny. I've done this, people at different places all over, and they'll just start sharing with me. I'm like, all right, okay. And I, you know, I'm listening, and you know, and people like to, you know, sometimes we want to talk about how terrible and difficult the things that we've, listen, a lot of folks have gone through difficult things. Folks without Christ have. That's not really a testimony of God. It's what's going on. Hey, listen, what is amazing is how God brought us through it. You understand? It's not amazing that we were sick. Like, there's a whole hospital of folk in here. I mean, you know what I'm saying, when you're there. You know, there's other people here. There's an ICU. They've gone through a lot worse. There's always somebody else. And listen, but here's the thing. What's amazing is God, what He's done. He brought us onto a wonderful, wealthy place. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a weird choice of terminology, He said, and at the end, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Sometimes the Bible uses words and phrases. I'm like, that's interesting. When it comes out at the end, He said, you know, God brought me out of a place that I was better off than I went in. Not just wealth of money, but just wealth of life. God brought me out of something that I got brought out to a place that was better than I went in. And listen, it wasn't me. It was God. The third thing is it's my testimony to give. My testimony to give. Look at verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. So often, we beg God in the darkness. You ever been there? The wetness of your pillow, He talks about at times that we're drowning in that, of just that we're begging God in the darkness. God. Please, God, do this for me. Right? Laying on your pillow and tears kind of going down and hitting that. God, would you please? Begging Him in the time of darkness. We're getting alone in a place somewhere. You know, we call it, the New Testament calls it a prayer closet. But we get in a place and just there and begging God by ourselves in that place of darkness. We ask our cares in private. We unspoken desires and burdens before the Lord, and we're when I'm telling you, sometimes God, I hate it when God has to sometimes does this bring something to my life that gets me so focused that I could do nothing but focus on begging God for that thing. You understand what I'm saying? We've been there. We do this in the darkness, but when God answers, it's time to bring it out of the darkness and into the light. You see? Praising God in the congregation. That's what He said. He said, listen, I did that. I said, I told you, God, if you know, there's people that have said this, God, if you get me through this, I'll do this. I don't think we ought to always make deals with God. I think that's a... I don't think we ought to make a deal with God. He's already given us everything He's got. Yeah. Amen. Could you just shed a little bit more blood for me? I mean, imagine saying that to Jesus. Could you come back and spill it again? Right? No, He's already done that. What are we going to ask Him for? But he does ask, tell us to bring our cares and our burdens. And sometimes we say, God, if You'll do this, if You just get me through this thing and we've done this. And He said, then I come and I want to just, I'm going to bring my offering for the Lord and from the people. Troubled times may be dark. They are dark. But when God delivers it, I'm telling you, folks, it becomes bright. It becomes bright. Look at verse 16. He says it this way. He says, come and hear. Up there earlier, He said, come and see. But now He says, come and hear. All ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. What a beautiful picture of what God desires from His people. Come here. Come here what God has done for my soul. Listen, here's what I want to get across tonight. This is enough generic platitudes unto the Lord. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but enough with the testimonies that are so nondescript that it doesn't seem like a praise to God at all, but our own victory. Tell me about what God's done in your life. Oh, whew, He's been good. Mm-hmm. Well, how's He been good? Oh, just and everything. Like just all the things. God's been good to me. Wow. It's amazing. You understand what I'm saying? You see where we're getting to? This is a modern form of testifying. This is a modern form of telling people about the Lord. Is this thing that we don't really want to get specific on what God does. You know why sometimes we don't want to get specific? Because we reveal where we've been at. Maybe we reveal some sin that was in our life. Man, who wants to confess sin? Because everybody already thinks I'm perfect. Right? I don't want everybody else to realize I'm struggling with something. So I want to kind of just... It's so we just say, God's just good. In what way is He good? Just... It's amazing. God is amazing. Right? And we kind of give this kind of just generic... Like, somebody that doesn't even know God can say the same things. And can I tell you, oftentimes people that don't know God say the same things. Being God and I, we're like this. I've had people in jail tell me that all the time. God and I, we're like this. God knows me. Yeah, He does. Yeah, He does. And so, listen, when God delivered them, there was a time for shouting. So what was happening here in this psalm, there was a time for shouting. It should be a time that exposes my weakness. God, I was in a dark place. God, I was hurting. Listen, let me just say before all the people, I was struggling with this thing, and God delivered me. It tells how weak I... You know the problem with the altar? Folks don't like to come to that because they're afraid of what other people are going to think about them. He just preached on adultery. If I come up there, people are going to think. Let people think. Let God know. Let people think. I don't want to... Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Listen, don't ever be afraid to get something settled with God. I think we can get settled with God in our seats. I do. But there's something special about when we come in the front of the congregation. You know, the tabernacle was in the center of all the tribes of Israel. Nobody snuck in, burnt their offering, and snuck out. Can I get the back door? No, there ain't no back door. There ain't no back door. It was everybody had to be seen. Somebody comes in, you see them, oh, they're coming with a bull. They got three bullocks. You know there was a gossip. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, old Jedediah, he had three bullocks today. Yeah. And see, I see Mary down there. She had a flock of turtle doves. You know, I'm just saying. It was in the midst of the congregation. There was no hiding that stuff. I think that's what's important about the offering. Maybe someday I'll preach a message on the offerings and so forth. But it was important. It was brought in front of the people. You know who it's important so everybody could say, I knew it. No, it's important that I can go. You know, sometimes what I've done, God's spoken to my heart about something. And I was so consumed by what was going on. I couldn't even think. But I knew God wanted me to just go get up there in the front. And I sat there and I'm like, God, I don't even know what to say. I didn't really say anything. It's God, I don't... I just know You want me to be here so other folks can see that I'm... I don't know, God. And I'm just... My mind is just... was I couldn't even get to talking to God other than just say, God, I know You're drawing me out here. And just so consumed by this, listen, there's something about coming in front of people, in front of the altar that God said, it kind of helps us. I believe this. It helps us to seal that commitment to God, the decision to God. God, help me. I need Your help. I think the altar is a great place. You say, was that the only? I don't think that's the only place. People that say, I don't think that's the only place you can do are usually people that don't go to it. I think we could deal with God in our seat. I don't. No, I'm not saying that. But let's follow God's pattern. And listen, if you want, I'm gonna get sidetracked in the thing. Just shoot that rabbit. Let's get back on this thing. All right. When God delivers, there's a time. Listen, it should be a time that exposes my weakness, exposes my frailty, my inability, but fully and completely extols His power and glory. But God. So number four, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Look at verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Colon. See that? See that colon? Continues on. So sometimes this is one of those passages, the verses that we like to kind of take and use it by itself. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Colon. But verily God hath heard me. I don't know if y'all get that like I do. Okay. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Man, I'm just, listen. I'm not the source of the blessing. You see, listen, it's not my ability to be sinless. Listen, God isn't hearing me because I'm sinless. I don't have the ability to be sinless. It's not even in me. God hears me through my faults and failures. He said, listen, if you, it's just one of these things that He says, if I regard, hey, listen, my little children, sin not. But if you sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, right? You see, what He's saying is don't do that, but listen, it's not, our relationship with Him is not all, it's hardly about me, it's all about Him. So much about Him. We can get so caught up in trying to be, you know, when I first was thinking about coming to church, I wanted to get myself straightened up, cleaned up before I could get to church. I wanted to be what I should be before I could go before God. But it was impossible. I can't be what I can. The best I can be is still a filthy rag. So God hears me through my own faults and failures. He is the one that deserves the glory, the praise, and the honor. My testimony is hardly even mine at all. I'm just but a side character in the testimony of God's goodness. Right? The story that I'm telling, the testimony I'm giving, really, I mean, I'm barely a character in that thing. He's the character. I'm telling the story about what God has done. It just happens to be, it fell upon me. And because I was there, I got a little bit closer look at it. But that's a story I want to be in. You know? I want to be in a story of what God's done. I remember hearing stories, testimonies of people telling about what God did in their life. And I thought, man, that's great. They would come and they'd say, you know, God did this and God did that. And they was excited. You know what? They were full of joy. I thought, man, praise the Lord. It was exciting to me. And I kept hearing them. I'd hear somebody else talk about a story, how God delivered them this. And this was going on in their life and God delivered them. And I thought, man, that's a blessing. What an exciting thing. And I thought, after a while, I thought, man, this is great. God is good. And then I thought this. I thought, what about me? Why isn't God working in my life like that? You know what I thought? I want my own story. Not so I could be the one, let me, I got a story. Not so I could be the tail bearer. But I thought, man, if God's working like that, I want to get some of that in my life too. You know, there's nothing greater than telling a story about what God has done. And I get to be in that story. I was part of it. Oh, listen, here is me in all this in verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. You know, folks, I don't deserve to have a story. I'm unworthy to be involved with the God of creation at all. But But he did not turn away my prayer. Why does God hear us when we ask him to save us? Isn't that amazing? Give me the theology on all of that. You know what I mean? Why, God, why would you? How can I get to a place that I'm worthy to be heard by God? No, but he said, no, he didn't turn away. Listen, nor did he withhold his mercy from me. So here's our conclusion tonight. Talking about the Lord ought to be a shouting occasion. Amen. It ought to be something that when we start telling it, the corners of our mouth start to go up. Man, I'm going to tell you. I mean, even while, man, it was terrible. But I'm already thinking about what God did. And man, when I got myself and God delivered, listen, it should be, when we realize who we are in the story, it gets exciting that we even get to be in it. But I am. Isn't that amazing? That God lets me, God, when I prayed and I asked him, he said, you got stuff going on in your life, but God didn't turn away my prayer. He heard me. And then as I go through life and there's troubles and I don't get perfected before God to hear me. And he begins to do something. He doesn't turn his mercy away from me. He hears me. And here I am today telling about what he did in me. It's just amazing. It's just downright amazing. I want to encourage us in two ways tonight. Two ways tonight. Number one, give your voice to talking about what God did. Listen to me, I'm about done. We're going to be done in the next, quickly. I don't want to break any promises. Give your voice to talking about what God did. Making him the main character, and you're just the supporting cast. All right? I mean, be specific. Not just generic platitudes to God. Yeah, he's great. No. Give specifics. Here's what God did. Here's what God did. Second thing, ask God specific things in your prayer life that he can answer specifically. That'll help. God, would you just bless me and bless every missionary? Bless every church. Just bless all of us. We're like Tiny Tim. Right? That's not the testimonies we see in the Bible. That's a modern day testimony that doesn't really get into anything. Ask God for some specifics that we would be ready to give the glory to him for. God, you answered this. I asked for this, and you answered that. Thank you, Lord. Maybe tonight, right up here at the altar, would be a wonderful time to ask God for some specific things. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Lord, help us to be what you desire us to be. And Lord, we don't want to be ignorant on this thing. And I think many times we go about in ignorance. Lord, we're not trying to be disrespectful or dishonoring. Lord, I don't believe most of the time that we're trying to glorify ourselves on purpose. And Lord, I think we just are ignorant of this thing, and we lose the fact of the sight of your greatness. And we're just excited to talk about what you've done in us. But Lord, help us tonight as we see here in this psalm, that we would focus on praising you. Or specifically, about the specific things you've done. And Lord, would you help us to be what you desire us to be in this world, that when others hear of our testimony, it would encourage them. Encourage them not to look at us, but to look at you. Lord, have your will and way tonight, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Let's all